Are you trying to find favor with God by what you do or don't do on certain days or months or seasons or years? Are you a child of the slave woman, Hagar, obligated to the law? Or are you a child of the free woman, Sarah, acceptable to God because of your faith? Are you standing at Mount Sinai with Moses as your head and your leader that you follow in trying to obey the law? Or are you standing at Mount Zion with Jesus as your head and your leader, walking in faith in the power of the Holy Spirit? These are the questions we're going to look at today from our reading on Galatians 3 and 4. Listen in. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is September 18th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the New Living Translation for the Old Testament and for the New Testament. Deuteronomy 28, 42 to 68. Swarms of insects will destroy your trees and crops. The foreigners living among you will become stronger and stronger while you become weaker and weaker. They will lend money to you, but you will not lend to them. They will be the head, and you will be the tail. If you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and to obey the commands and decrees he has given you, all these curses will pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed. These horrors will serve as a sign and warning among you and your descendants forever. If you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm for the abundant benefits you have received, you will serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you. You will be left hungry, thirsty, naked, and lacking in everything. The Lord will put an iron yoke on your neck, oppressing you harshly until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a distant nation against you from the end of the earth, and it will swoop down on you like a vulture. It is a nation whose language you do not understand, a fierce and heartless nation that shows no respect for the old and no pity for the young. Its armies will devour your livestock and crops, and you will be destroyed. They will leave you no grain, new wine, olive oil, calves, or lambs, and you will starve to death. They will attack your cities until all the fortified walls in your land, the walls you trusted to protect you, are knocked down. They will attack all the towns in the land the Lord your God has given you. The siege and terrible distress of the enemy's attack will be so severe that you will eat the flesh of your own sons and daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you. The most tender-hearted man among you will have no compassion for his own brother, his beloved wife, and his surviving children. He will refuse to share with them the flesh he is devouring, the flesh of one of his own children, because he has nothing else to eat during the siege and terrible distress that your enemy will inflict on all your towns. The most tender and delicate woman among you, so delicate she would not so much as touch the ground with her foot, will be selfish toward the husband she loves and toward her own son or daughter. She will hide from them the afterbirth and the new baby she has born, so that she herself can secretly eat them. She will have nothing else to eat during the siege and terrible distress that your enemy will inflict on all your towns. If you refuse to obey all the words of instruction that are written in this book, and if you do not fear the glorious and awesome name of the Lord your God, then the Lord will overwhelm you and your children with indescribable plagues. These plagues will be intense and without relief, making you miserable and unbearably sick. He will afflict you with all the diseases of Egypt that you feared so much, and you will have no relief. The Lord will afflict you with every sickness and plague there is, even those not mentioned in this book of instruction, until you are destroyed. Though you become as numerous as the stars in the sky, few of you will be left because you would not listen to the Lord your God. Just as the Lord has found great pleasure in causing you to prosper and multiply, the Lord will find pleasure in destroying you. You will be torn from the land you are about to enter and occupy. For the Lord will scatter you among all the nations from one end of the earth to the other. There you will worship foreign gods that neither you nor your ancestors have known, gods made of wood and stone. There among those nations you will find no peace or place to rest, and the Lord will cause your heart to tremble, your eyesight to fail, and your soul to despair. Your life will constantly hang in the balance. You will live night and day in fear, unsure if you will survive. In the morning you will say, "If only it were night." And in the evening you will say, "If only it were morning." For you will be terrified by the awful horrors you see around you. Then the Lord will send you back to Egypt in ships, to a destination I promised you would never see again. There, you will offer to sell yourselves to your enemies as slaves, but no one will buy you. Isaiah 28:14-30:11. Therefore, listen to this message from the Lord, you scoffing rulers in Jerusalem. You boast that you have struck a bargain to avoid death and have made a deal to dodge the grave. You say, "The Assyrians can never touch us, for we have built a strong refuge made of lies and deception." Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem. It is firm, a tested and precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. Whoever believes need never run away again. I will take the measuring line of justice and the plumb line of righteousness to check the foundation wall you have built. Your refuge looks strong, but since it is made of lies, a hailstorm will knock it down. Since it is made of deception, the enemy will come like a flood to sweep it away. I will cancel the bargain you have made to avoid death, and I will overturn your deal to dodge the grave. When the terrible enemy floods in, you will be trampled into the ground. Again and again that flood will come, morning after morning, day and night, until you are carried away. This message will bring terror to your people, for you have no place of refuge. The bed you have made is too short to lie on. The blankets are too narrow to cover you. The Lord will come suddenly and in anger, as he did against the Philistines at Mount Perazim and against the Amorites at Gibeon. He will come to do a strange and unusual thing. He will destroy his own people. So scoff no more, or your punishment will be even greater. For the Lord Almighty, has plainly told me that he is determined to crush you. Listen to me, listen as I plead. Does a farmer always plow and never sow? Is he forever cultivating the soil and never planting it? Does he not finally plant his seeds for dill, cumin, wheat, barley, and spelt, each in its own section of his land? The farmer knows just what to do, for God has given him understanding. He doesn't thresh all his crops the same way. A heavy sledge is never used on dill. Rather, it is beaten with a light stick. A threshing wheel is never rolled on cumin. Instead, it is beaten softly with a flail. Red grain is easily crushed, so he doesn't keep on pounding it. He threshes it under the wheels of a cart, but he doesn't pulverize it. The Lord Almighty is a wonderful teacher, and he gives the farmer great wisdom. Destruction is certain for Ariel, the city of David. Year after year, you offer your many sacrifices, yet I will bring disaster upon you, and there will be weeping and sorrow, for Jerusalem will become, as her name Ariel means, an altar covered with blood. I will be your enemy surrounding Jerusalem and attacking its walls. I will build siege towers around it and will destroy it. Your voice will whisper like a ghost from the earth where you will lie buried. But suddenly, your ruthless enemies will be driven away like chaff before the wind. In an instant, I, the Lord Almighty, will come against them with thunder, an earthquake and great noise, with whirlwind and storm and consuming fire. All the nations fighting against Jerusalem will vanish like a dream. Those who are attacking her walls will vanish like a vision in the night. A hungry person dreams of eating but is still hungry. A thirsty person dreams of drinking but is still faint from thirst when morning comes. In the same way, your enemies will dream of a victorious conquest over Jerusalem, but all to no avail. Are you amazed and incredulous? Do you not believe it? Then go ahead and be blind if you must. You are stupid, but not from wine. You stagger, but not from beer. For the Lord has poured out on you a spirit of deep sleep. He has closed the eyes of your prophets and visionaries. All these future events are a sealed book to them. When you give it to those who can read, they will say, "We can't read it because it is sealed." When you give it to those who cannot read, they will say, "Sorry, we don't know how to read." And so the Lord says, "These people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away. And their worship of me amounts to nothing more than human laws learned by rote. Because of this, I will do wonders among these hypocrites. I will show that human wisdom is foolish, and even the most brilliant people lack understanding. Destruction is certain for those who try to hide their plans from the Lord, who try to keep him in the dark concerning what they do. The Lord can't see us, you say to yourselves. He doesn't know what is going on. How stupid can you be? He is the potter, and he is certainly greater than you. You are only the jars he makes. Should the thing that was created say to the one who made it, 'He didn't make us'? Does a jar ever say, 'The potter who made me is stupid'? Soon, and it will not be very long, the wilderness of Lebanon will be a fertile field once again, and the fertile fields will become a lush and fertile forest. In that day, deaf people will hear words read from a book, and blind people will see through the gloom and darkness. The humble will be filled with fresh joy from the Lord. Those who are poor will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Those who intimidate and harass will be gone, and all those who plot evil will be killed. Those who make the innocent guilty by their false testimony will disappear, and those who use trickery to pervert justice and tell lies to tear down the innocent will be no more. That is why the Lord, who redeemed Abraham, says to the people of Israel, 'My people will no longer pale with fear or be ashamed. For when they see their many children and material blessings, they will recognize the holiness of the Holy One of Israel. They will stand in awe of the God of Israel. Those in error will then believe the truth, and those who constantly complain will accept instruction. Destruction is certain for my rebellious children, says the Lord. You make plans that are contrary to my will. You weave a web of plans that are not from my spirit, thus piling up your sins. For without consulting me, you have gone down to Egypt to find help. You have put your trust in Pharaoh for his protection. But in trusting Pharaoh, you will be humiliated and disgraced. For though his power extends to Zoan and Hanes, it will all turn out to your shame. He will not help you even one little bit. Look at the animals moving slowly across the terrible desert to Egypt. Donkeys and camels loaded with treasure to pay for Egypt's aid. On through the wilderness they go, where lions and poisonous snakes live. All this, and Egypt will give you nothing in return. Egypt's promises are worthless. I call her the harmless dragon. Now go and write down these words concerning Egypt. They will then stand until the end of time as a witness to Israel's unbelief. For these people are stubborn rebels who refuse to pay any attention to the Lord's instructions. They tell the prophets, "Shut up! We don't want any more of your reports." They say, "Don't tell us the truth. Tell us nice things. Tell us lies. Forget all this gloom. We have heard more than enough about your Holy One of Israel. We are tired of listening to what he has to say." Galatians 3:23-4:31. Until faith in Christ was shown to us as the way of becoming right with God, we were guarded by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until we could put our faith in the coming Savior. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian and teacher to lead us until Christ came. So now, through faith in Christ, we are made right with God. But now that faith in Christ has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. So, you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have been made like him. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all Christians. You are one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and now all the promises God gave to him belong to you. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves great wealth for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were slaves to the spiritual powers of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because you Gentiles have become his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, and now you can call God your dear Father. Now, you are no longer a slave, but God's own child, and since you are his child, everything he has belongs to you. Before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to so-called gods that you do not even exist. And now that you have found God, or should I say, now that God has found you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual powers of this world? You are trying to find favor with God by what you do or don't do on certain days or months or seasons or years. I fear for you. I am afraid that all my hard work for you was worth nothing. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to live as I do in freedom from these things, for I have become like you Gentiles were, free from the law. You did not mistreat me when I first preached to you. Surely you remember that I was sick when I first brought you the good news of Christ. But even though my sickness was revolting to you, you did not reject me and turn me away. No, you took me in and cared for me as though I were an angel from God or even Christ Jesus himself. Where is that joyful spirit we felt together then? In those days, I know you would gladly have taken out your own eyes and given them to me if it had been possible. Have I now become your enemy because I am telling you the truth? Those false teachers who are so anxious to win your favor are not doing it for your good. They are trying to shut you off from me so that you will pay more attention to them. Now it's wonderful if you are eager to do good, and especially when I am not with you. But, oh, my dear children, I feel as if I am going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. How I wish I were there with you right now so that I could be more gentle with you, but at this distance, I frankly don't know what else to do. Listen to me, you who want to live under the law. Do you know what the law really says? The scriptures say that Abraham had two sons, one from his slave wife and one from his freeborn wife. The son of the slave wife was born in a human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise. But the son of the freeborn wife was born as God's own fulfillment of his promise. Now these two women serve as an illustration of God's two covenants. Hagar, the slave wife, represents Mount Sinai, where people first became enslaved through the law. And now Jerusalem is just like Mount Sinai in Arabia because she and her children live in slavery. But Sarah, the free woman, represents the heavenly Jerusalem, and she is our mother. This is what Isaiah meant when he prophesied, "Rejoice, O childless woman, break forth into loud and joyful song, even though you never gave birth to a child, for the woman who could bear no children now has more than all the other women." And you, dear brothers and sisters, are children of the promise, just like Isaac. And we who are born of the Holy Spirit are persecuted by those who want us to keep the law, just as Isaac, the child of promise, was persecuted by Ishmael, the son of the slave wife. But what do the scriptures say about that? "Get rid of the slave and her son, for the son of the slave woman will not share the family inheritance with the free woman's son." So, dear brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman obligated to the law. We are children of the free woman, acceptable to God because of our faith. Psalm 62, 1-12. I wait quietly before God, for my salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. So many enemies against one man, all of them trying to kill me. To them, I'm just a broken down wall or a tottering fence. They plan to topple me from my high position. They delight in telling lies about me. They are friendly to my face, but they curse me in their hearts. I wait quietly before God, for my hope is in Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. O my people, trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart to Him, for God is our refuge. From the greatest to the lowliest, all are nothing in His sight. If you weigh them on the scales, they are lighter than a puff of air. Don't try to get rich by extortion or robbery. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. God has spoken plainly, and I have heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. Unfailing love, O Lord, is yours. Surely you judge all people according to what they have done. Proverbs 23:19-21. My child, listen and be wise. Keep your heart on the right course. Do not carouse with drunkards and gluttons, for they are on their way to poverty. Too much sleep clothes a person with rags. I want to speak to you again from Galatians chapter 3 and 4. And Paul is continuing his case with the Galatians about if they're going to walk under the law or if they're going to walk in faith by trusting in Jesus Christ. You can hear his passion in verse 9 of chapter 4. He says, and now that you have found God, or should I say, now that God has found you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual powers of this world? He goes on to say this charge. You are trying to find favor with God by what you do or don't do on certain days or months or seasons or years. That verse really, really packs a powerful punch. Especially, I speak to the people who are in the Hebrew Roots Messianic movement. Those who keep the Sabbath, who keep the feasts, you know, the Passover and First Fruits and Shavuot and Sukkot and Feast of Tabernacles. Those are all wonderful, wonderful feasts, and they are beautiful shadow pictures that point us to Christ. But we're not to be worshiping the shadow. We're not to be looking only to the picture. We're to look to Christ himself. We're to stay connected to Jesus himself. And I think that this is really an issue and a problem in the Hebrew Roots world, is that there are many, not necessarily all, but many in that movement who are trying to find favor with God by keeping the feast, by keeping the Sabbath on certain days, the holy days, the Day of Atonement, the Day of Yom Kippur, the Day of Trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles. They're trying to earn favor and find favor with God by keeping these feasts on certain days or months or years. And Paul goes on to say, I fear for you. I'm afraid that all my hard work for you was worth nothing. I plead with you to live as I do in freedom from these things, for I have become like you Gentiles were, free from the law. Now, later on, he does a beautiful illustration, and he makes a comparison. He compares Hagar and Sarah. These are two wives that Abraham had. And God made a promise to Abraham and Sarah that they would one day have a son of their own. But many, many, many years went by, and the promise didn't seem to be, look like it was going to be fulfilled. So Sarah took matters in her own hand, and she says to Abraham, honey, I want you to take my handmaiden, Hagar, take her, and make a baby with her. And, you know, God doesn't seem like he's going to fulfill this promise, so let's just make this happen. And so he lays with Hagar, and they have a son, and they call him Ishmael. But this was the son of the slave wife was born in a human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise. But the son of the freeborn wife, Sarah, giving birth to Isaac, the miracle child, was born as a result of God's own fulfillment of his promise. These two women serve as an illustration of God's two covenants. Hagar, the slave wife, represents Mount Sinai, where the people became enslaved to the law. We are not to stand at Mount Sinai. Moses is not our head. We are to stand at Mount Zion. Jesus Christ is our head. And that comes by walking in faith, in believing in Jesus as the Son of God, as our Savior, as our Messiah. She, Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, is our mother. And so we are to walk by faith. We begin in faith and we continue in faith from day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. We walk in faith, not in our own efforts, our own flesh, our own performance, our own keeping of the law, but it's all walking in faith. And so may we all stand at Mount Zion under the headship and the rulership and the kingship of Jesus Christ. May we not drift away from our connection and our relationship to Jesus and wander away and go to Mount Sinai and put all this emphasis and focus on Moses and the law and the commands and the Sabbath and the feast and all of that. No, no, those are all shadow pictures. We don't worship the shadow picture. We worship the one who makes the shadow, and that is Jesus Christ himself. We are to walk in relationship with him and with him alone. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.
Yevarekach Adonai Vishmarekach Yayeh Adonai Panavilakha Vikuneka Yisa Adonai Panav Hileka Vayasehileka Leka Shalom.
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.